chapter, James, the fifth chapter. I started this on a Sunday morning back before I had the Poe talks, and was talking about patience. And then I didn't get to finish the message. Actually, I only preached the first point on that particular Sunday. And so I want to go back, and I want to read just a few verses. I came back on the Wednesday night and was going to try to preach it, you may remember. And I kind of struggled to get through the verses, and I tried to start, and the words just wouldn't come out. But I want to try to look at it tonight for just a little bit. I'm going to hit highlights. I'm not going to try to go into the depth that maybe I would have normally went into. But if I can hit the highlights of it tonight, I will leave it at that. But in James, the fifth chapter, I'll start down in verse number 11, or 10, excuse me, verse 10. James continues on, and he says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, and neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. And that'll be reading the verses tonight. I want to try to think about. We were entitling this text on being patient under pressure. And what we talked about in the first section, dealing in verses 7 through 9, was the persistence of this patience. James talked about being patient under the coming of the Lord. He told them that the Lord's coming was here, and to be patient because of that. And so he was telling them to be patient. He gave them the example of how a farmer, the husbandman, he will wait for the latter and the early rains for his crops to come up. He has to be persistent. He has to wait. Sometimes there are difficulties. Sometimes there are pests that attack his crops. Sometimes there are dry spells. And as he waits on the rains, sometimes there are things that come. But he has to be patient and wait for the harvest. And so James was using that as an illustration. And he was encouraging them to not quit, just to keep pressing onward and be patient that the Lord was coming. And I remember on that particular Sunday that's what I kept trying to emphasize to our hearts, that the Lord's coming. Don't quit. Just keep pressing on. But then James goes from there, and in verse 10, in the first part of verse 11, James gives some pictures of this patience. He, first of all, gives them the picture in the prophets. Notice what he says. He says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. He tells them about the prophets. He says, take them, look at them, think about the prophets, and use them as an example to your life of their suffering, affliction, and patience. He wants them to realize how they have suffered and been patient. The idea of their patience here, as we remember in the earlier verses, the idea of the word patience here is talking about being long-suffering so that you don't end up becoming angry. And that was their danger, that because of their suffering, that they might get angry. They might look at others that are having it better. They might look at others that aren't suffering like they are, and anger would get in their hearts. And so James says, look at the prophets, how that they have suffered, but yet they were patient. They didn't get angry, and they didn't lash out, even though they were suffering. He didn't mention any by name, but he could have had Jeremiah in mind. I think about Jeremiah, how that Jeremiah preached the word, and Jeremiah was put in a dungeon for preaching, and Jeremiah suffered, but he didn't lash out in anger, but he had a broken heart over what the nation faced. He may have had Daniel in mind. Daniel was put in a den of lions. He may have had Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in mind, put in a fiery furnace. How they were persecuted, but they didn't get angry over their persecution. They trusted in God to take care of them and were patient. But that's what James was saying. He was saying, consider them and let them be an example. I'll be honest with you. It's easy sometimes to get angry because of what you go through. It's easy to let your suffering to cause anger and bitterness to get in your heart. I'll use myself as an example. Maybe you wouldn't be honest. And maybe you say, well, preacher, You just don't know how it is. I do know how it is. And I'll use myself as an example just so you'll know. Just the other day, Alice and I was going to town. And I was talking on the telephone, and how frustrating that it's been at times. I was telling her about it, hey, and I was telling Dennis about it, even in hey. And I was telling her about a particular day that I called a church member, and I was trying to talk, and for the first minute or two, I kindly got things out, and then it all went south, and I couldn't get my words out, and they couldn't understand me. And the more frustrated I got, the more worse that it got. And finally, I just had to say, I'll talk to you later. And I kindly got it out. And I said bye. And I hung up. And I was so angry about being able to talk, I just threw the phone down, sat and cried. And I was saying, why, God, do I have to deal with this? I was so angry. But Alice was telling me about somebody that she had met. And she was talking about a man that had cancer in his throat. And had lost his ability to speak. He had been, I can't remember, a year or so. And she said, it's been that long. And he hasn't been able to say a word. I thought a lot about that. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, that could have been you. And it could be that you've not been able to even say a word or preach a message or do anything. And I got to thinking about getting so angry and so upset. And I thought, Lord, I shouldn't get like that. You may say, preacher, I never tell it. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes I'm not as patient as I ought to be. Sometimes my frustration and my anger comes out. I've not arrived yet. You say, preacher, I'd never tell that. But I will. I'll tell you that sometimes I still get frustrated. And I still get angry. And I still wonder why. But God's still working on me. And God's still dealing with me. And I'm learning patience. I've not got there, but I'm learning more about patience. And maybe that's why a lot of this is happening, that God is teaching me more about patience. James says something strange. In verse 11, he says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Don't that sound strange? Behold, we count them happy which endure. I don't know that you would think about somebody being happy that has to endure pain, suffering, heartaches, and problems. But James says we count them happy which endure. But what is James really saying? James is saying these are the truly blessed ones in life. These are the ones that are really blessed. It isn't the ones that have the most toys. It isn't the ones that have the most riches. But it's the ones that have the smile of God on their life. It's the ones that God blesses. It's the ones that God draws near to. It's the ones that God encourages and strengthens through the trials of life. You've heard me say it, and I say it again tonight, that it has been through some of these most difficult days that I've experienced some of the greatest things with God in my life. I have, over the last 4 years, I have experienced some of the greatest blessings in my life. It has been some of the darkest times, some of the most difficult hours, some of the most frustrating days, but I have sensed God some of the closest that I've ever experienced in my life and in my heart. And that's what James is saying. He is saying, behold, we count them happy which endure. Those who are patient through the sufferings and the trials of life, they're the ones that are the blessed ones of God. They experience some of the greatest blessings of God in their life. James says, through those sufferings, that God uses them to draw us closer to Him, and He gets closer to us than at any other time in our life. And that's what James is wanting them to see and us to see. I'm going to stop there tonight. I'm not going to push it. Next time I'll finish the verses, Lord willing. And we'll talk about Job. Because he not only talks about what he says about the prophets, but he also talks about the picture in Job in the latter part of verse 11. But I've told you some personal things that I've gone through tonight. You know me. You know me. I've been here long enough in the first 9 years that I was here. And then now in these, I guess it's been, what, about 7 years or so that I've been back. You know me. You know I'm going to be honest with you. And you know that I'm going to tell you that I'm not perfect. I'm not the kind of preacher that's going to tell you how it ought to be and act like that I've got it all figured out and I've got it all worked out and I never struggle or have a problem. But I'm going to be honest with you and I'm going to tell you, I'm still a work in progress. And he's still working on me. I'm still learning. I still fail. Preacher, what'd you do that day that you got so upset and so angry? It didn't take very long that the Lord convicted my heart and I bowed and said, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have got so upset and so angry. Would you forgive me? Because I know it's in your plan and in your hands. And I ask you to forgive me. The Holy Spirit ain't going to let you get too far away, and he's going to deal with you. And he did with me. He's still working on me to make me what he wants me to be. Hope tonight something I said was maybe a help to you. I think you've been there. I think you understand. I think you know what I'm talking about. We're learning and we're growing. God's wanting us to learn to be patient through the trials, the sufferings, the difficulties of life. Hopefully tonight he helped you in some way. I appreciate you being here. Thank God for just being able to share those thoughts with you tonight. Be praying about the service Sunday. Ask the Lord to meet with us as we have our sunrise service. I will say this. Dennis and I have been talking a little bit. Looking at the weather. They are talking after this rain comes through and everything. It's going to take a dip in the weather. And things are looking like come Sunday morning that it may be frosty. Could be freezing, even a little below freezing around sunrise. And we'll kind of make a decision on it depending. I know weather can change, but if it's really cold, I'm not going to make you stand out there when it's really cold, because I don't care a whole lot about that myself. And if it's really cold, we'll come inside for the early part, the sunrise part. I'd love to stand out there for the sunrise, but if it's real, real cold, I'll not make you do that. And we'll kindly call that one on Sunday morning, and we'll see when we get here. But 7 o'clock. So we'll look forward to that service. So keep that in mind. Let's all stand to our feet.